Praise the Lord. A reading from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verses 26 to 35. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go towards the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and to sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Dear friends, in preparation for the celebration of the Christmas, the birth of the Messiah, we are studying the various messianic prophecies. In our last reflection, we were studying the so-called servant songs, the Ebed Yahweh songs in the book of 2nd Isaiah, or book of Isaiah. We have studied two of the four hymns. And in these two hymns, we are presented with an enigmatic figure, a prophetic figure, who is called the servant of the Lord, who is specially chosen by God, equipped with His Spirit, and sent out on a particular mission of bringing justice to the entire world. He is sent out as a light to the nations. His mission is not restricted to the people of Israel, but to the whole world, as the Lumen Gentium, as the light of the nations. So this is a prophetic mission. He is sent out to proclaim the word, to reveal God's will for the people. And through revealing God's will, to bring salvation, bring liberation, freedom, and justice to the whole world. The first and second hymns are typically prophetic in nature. The servant was chosen even before his birth. He is anointed by the Spirit, and he is given the task of bringing justice to the whole world. Now we come to the third hymn. The third hymn is in Isaiah 50, verses 4 to 11. "The Lord has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backwards. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. So this is the third hymn, the third servant song. And here the servant is again continuing his prophetic mission of bringing the word of God. And this word is a comforting word. So the Lord has given me the tongue of a teacher, the one who proclaims the word of God, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. The word of God that gives comfort, that gives life, that gives strength, that gives hope. So that is the prophetic word. The servant is sent out to give hope and courage. And the prophet does not speak his own word. He has to listen. Morning after morning, he wakens my ear. So every day he listens to God's word and then he proclaims it. But this proclamation of the word is causing him not only difficulties but outright persecution. So the third song is somehow leading to the suffering of the servant. I was not rebellious, the servant says, because there was reason to be rebellious. I gave my back to those who struck me and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. Striking, pulling out the beard, insulting, persecuting, trying to destroy the person. So here the prophet, the servant, is to continue his mission in the midst of opposition and persecution. But then he is hopeful. He is not discouraged. Even though he thinks that he is working in vain, he still hopes and holds fast to God who sent him. It is the Lord who helps me, who will declare me guilty. So he has put his trust in God. In spite of all the apparent opposition and suffering, he keeps his faith and trusts in God and continues his mission of bringing a word of comfort and consolation to the nations. So that is the third hymn that somehow starts the theme of suffering. Now we come to the fourth and the last hymn, where the hymn is called the hymn of the suffering servant. And this is a rather long hymn, and it describes in detail the sufferings the servant has to undergo. Chapter 52, verse 13 to 53, verse 12. First, let us listen to the hymn and then interpret it. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be exalted and lifted up, and shall be very high. Just as there were many who were astonished at him, so marred was his appearance, beyond human resemblance, and his form beyond that of mortals. So he shall startle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which had not been told them, they shall see, and that which they had not heard, they shall contemplate. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hide their faces. He was despised. We held him of no account. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him as stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken by the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked, and his tomb with the rich. Although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find satisfaction through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgression. A long hymn, a very enigmatic hymn, describing the passion, suffering, and death, and the exaltation of the servant. So now the question is, who is this servant? Who is the servant of these four songs? The first two songs depict him as a prophet, bringing justice and liberation to the people, to all the nations. The third speaks about the futility of his work and the suffering he has to undergo. And the last song describes in detail much of the suffering, rejection by the people, oppression, and death by violence. And the story doesn't end with that death, and even beyond death, the servant is being exalted. And the fourth song tells us also the purpose, the meaning of the suffering. The servant is not suffering for his own sin or transgressions. He is innocent, without any guilt, any blame. So he is being sacrificed as an unblemished lamb. He is placed as a sacrifice for the transgressions of the entire humanity. So he is blameless, guiltless, sinless. And his death is seen as a sacrifice. Sacrifice in repair for the entire humanity's sin. So he is undergoing a vicarious suffering, taking upon the sin of the world upon himself and making his life a sacrifice. So the question is asked, who is this figure? Who is this person, this servant? We have already seen that the term servant can mean many things. The servant, the Hebrew word ebed, and the Greek word pais, can point to a slave, one who is bought by the master. It can point to a high officer. A servant can be an ambassador of the king. The servant can be a knight. The servant can also be the son, especially In the Greek formula of Pais, it can mean also a son. So who is this servant, this enigmatic figure? Many suggestions have been made. The first interpretation is this, that the servant is not just one individual, it points to the entire Israelite nation, the people of Israel. In fact, once in the hymn itself, he is called as the servant, the Israel. In the second hymn, chapter 49, verse 3, it is said, "And he said to me, you are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified." So at least once the servant is identified as Israel. And in many other places, in the second Isaiah, Israel is called the servant of God. Isaiah 44:1. "But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen." Or 44:21. "Remember these things, O Jacob, and Israel, you are my servant. I formed you, you are my servant. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me." So it is said, it is the people of Israel here addressed as a servant. People taken as one entity, a corporate personality. So the entire people taken as one person, embodying the people of Israel. But it would be very difficult to accept this interpretation, Israel becoming itself a ransom for Israel, Israel preaching to Israel, somehow doesn't satisfy. There may be some indications, especially of the people of Israel led into exile who have undergone the suffering, and this suffering has become a ransom for the entire nation. But as we know, as we see from the hymn, this Israel in exile is not that innocent. They all join, share the guilt of the whole nation. So the corporate personality or the collective understanding of the servant is not satisfactory. So then people think about other individuals. Some hold the idea, the opinion that the prophet is speaking about himself, the second Isaiah. We don't know who that person is. So they say this might be a personal understanding of the prophet about his mission. Maybe true for some part of it. That is, he is bringing the word of consolation. But when it comes to the suffering and death and resurrection and the vicarious suffering, etc., the opinion or the interpretation that this is the prophet who speaks is not sufficient. The third interpretation is one of the kings of Israel, maybe David or maybe Hezekiah, but even that does not satisfy. Another interpretation is given that this servant is none but Jeremiah. And we know the life of Jeremiah was so miserable. He was an innocent person and he was persecuted and he was almost killed. But still he was saved. But again, Jeremiah alone will not satisfactorily explain all the details, all that is said in the hymn. So finally, it is agreed, majority opinion is that this prophecy concerns a future individual, a messianic figure who is to come, at the end of time. And the New Testament and Jesus himself understood these prophecies as a prediction of the life of the Messiah. Now, if we go through the Gospels and the New Testament and compare these servant songs, we see a lot of what is said about the servant is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. For example, the first hymn, 42:1-4, is quoted entirely by Matthew in chapter 12, verse 18-21. The hymn is quoted and Matthew uses the formula quotation that this happened in order that the prophecy may be fulfilled. So Isaiah 42:1-4 is entirely quoted by Matthew and applied to Jesus. Chapter 53:7-8 is quoted in Acts 8:32-33 that we read at the beginning of this reflection. The Ethiopian eunuch reading from the book of Isaiah was reading this particular passage of the suffering servant. And starting from that passage, Philip the deacon was preaching to him about Jesus Christ. So the eunuch was asking, the Ethiopian official was asking, about whom is the prophet speaking, about himself or someone else? And Philip declared to him that the prophet was speaking about Jesus Christ, in whom all these prophecies has been fulfilled. So this is a prophecy that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 42:1, behold the servant in whom God is well pleased. This is the words taken up in the baptism of Jesus Christ. At the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist, the heavens opened, the Spirit came upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And the voice of the Father resounded from heaven. You are my Son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Using this servant song, Isaiah 42:1, adapted to the situation. So Jesus is presented as the servant in whom God is good pleasure and upon whom the Spirit of the Lord comes. So this servant song somehow is chalking out a plan of action for Jesus. And all that is said, these songs will be accomplished, fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. And 42:2, he will not raise his voice. The servant is not a violent person. He does not raise his voice. Jesus said, I am meek and humble of heart. Somehow fulfilling the meek, silent mission of the servant. Matthew 11:29, meek and humble of heart. In Isaiah 42:3, he will not break a crushed reed. It is Jesus' style of action, protecting the weak and the sick, never despising a sinner, never rejecting anybody who is repentant. The weak he does not reject. He will not break a crushed reed. In Isaiah 42:7 and 49:6, the servant is presented as the light of the nations. And in Luke 2:32, Simon, Simeon, the old man who recognized Jesus as a savior, has this to say. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace. Luke 2:29-32. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory to your people Israel. A light of revelation to Gentiles, that is Jesus Christ. This is what the servant was supposed to be, a light to the nations. In Isaiah 50:4, the servant is given a comforting word. The Lord has called me before I was born, etc. In Isaiah 54, the Lord has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Sustaining the weary with a word. And that's what Jesus said. Come to me, all you who are heavily burdened. I'll comfort you. I'll give you rest. Jesus giving rest. In Isaiah 56, he gave his back to those who struck. Literally fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus was scourged at the pillar. All the Gospels speak about this. At the command of Pilate, Jesus was scourged. In Isaiah 50:6, insult and spitting he did not turn his face from. And in Matthew 22:30 it is said, they spat upon his face. Isaiah 52:13 to 53:12, the last song of the suffering servant, is almost literally fulfilled in the passion of Jesus Christ. And this is the most quoted passage of the Old Testament. Who believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Quoted in John 12:38 and Romans 10:16. In 53:4, surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Literally quoted in Matthew 8:17. He was wounded for our transgressions. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 22 to 25, quoted again. He did not open his mouth. Jesus was silent throughout the passion. The entire suffering, he was silent. In 53:12, he was counted among the criminals. And that is quoted in Luke 22:37. So when we go through the songs and analyze this life of and death of Jesus Christ, we see a clear picture emerging. A person who was chosen before his birth, who was anointed by the Spirit, equipped with the word, sent out to be the light of the nations, who was rejected, persecuted, brutally oppressed, and put to death. And the story doesn't end with that death. He was raised again. So all this somehow was described in detail almost 600 years before it happened. The servant songs may be the best prophecy and the most detailed prophecy about the coming of the Messiah. Messiah, the servant of God. And this explains also the meaning of the suffering of Jesus Christ. Why did he suffer? And this suffering is for the sins of the world. Jesus suffered as a sacrificial lamb. All the sacrifices that were up unto him were meant for forgiveness of sins, for reconciliation with God. But nothing of that suffering, nothing of that sacrifice was capable enough to bring reconciliation. So Jesus takes upon himself the entire sin of the humanity, and he sacrifices his own life. He gives himself up freely, totally free to the Father. And this free gift of his life brings life to the entire humanity. So when we are preparing for the coming of the Messiah, we see that he is coming to bring the world, to bring us freedom, liberation from sin. But this liberation is only through his suffering, death, and resurrection. Now let us conclude with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, your only beloved Son, whom you have anointed with the Spirit and sent to the world to reconcile the world with you, to bring us peace, everlasting peace, and justice. We thank you for sending him. We thank you, Jesus, for taking upon yourself our sins and dying on the cross. You brought us life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.